tore that basket right out of Colton's hand. Colton wasn't going to let go. Look what I did. I ripped it right. I'm sorry, I was waving at Sophia. With affection. Years from now, they say, I still remember when Pastor John tore that out of my... Oh, it was so special. Excuse me?
Mike remembers those things.
Mike does? Yeah? Okay. All righty. Well, you guys are always trying to distract me from my focus. Here we are, the last song of the summer, as it were, and the first song, as it were, of the fall series. Using this as kind of a bridge this morning, because that song is a beautiful song. We have it on our playlist in the car. I like to hear it. But I put a question mark behind it this morning in the bulletin. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. I talked with Linda about this a little bit just to make sure we were on the same page, because I want to reread the words, all right? So a lot of us grew up believing at any moment we could lose it all, and at the drop of a hat, God might turn his back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking that we're just too far gone. But I want you to know there's still a hope for you now. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated no matter what. Linda and I agreed that whatever we've done in the past, if we recognize it and we give it to God, his love is adequate. We can't do anything too bad. The Apostle Paul pretty much gave that testimony himself. Nonetheless, it still requires what the chorus says. There's never been a better time to get honest. There's never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are and run to the cross and be free. Oh, be free. He's always holding on. You're still a daughter. You're still a son, no matter what. We have to get honest. We have to run to the cross. We have to get clean. And we have to stay that way. All right? The song does not say that we can just keep doing whatever. It acknowledges that there is sin in our lives. However great the sin may be, God's grace is still sufficient and will cover it. We can't presume on God's grace and say, okay, well, I confessed my sin, I gave my heart to Jesus, now I can do whatever for the rest of my life. Is that true? Not according to Scripture. Some people kind of hold to that teaching, and I'm sorry, but we need to be honest and speak the truth in love. And so there is a question mark behind that no matter what. We must acknowledge that that doesn't give us free license to do whatever for the rest of our lives, presuming on God's grace. Jesus did not come to the cross and die for that. I'm sorry. Okay? So we're going to be honest. Now, I love the first part of that song where it talks about the past and we have a chance to run to the cross when we get honest. And so I want us to celebrate that today. It's the beginning of the series of Fulfilling Faith. And so we're going to go through and see primarily the focus on God's love and His grace and His mercy is always available to us, okay? So I want to summarize my view of that song and the truth of God's Word. And it would be this, because that song says God will never let you go, okay? I agree with that. There is Scripture, too, that we're going to look at that says that. However, I believe that God will let you let go. It's like we're holding hands with God. Okay, He's going to hold on. But if we choose, and He's given us the freedom to choose, if we choose to let go and go on our way, He's going to let that happen. That's part of love. Jesus sadly had to watch a lot of people walk away from Him. Okay? And He let them go. God lets us go. I'm sorry. That's our choice. If He didn't let us let go, then we wouldn't have freedom of choice. It wouldn't be true love. Okay? So I see most all of you are nodding your head and we're in agreement on this, but we want to reaffirm the truth with God's Word this morning. And so we're going to celebrate the truth of God's holding on, His part of it, and that promise, beginning with what we might call Him as a perishing preventer. A perishing preventer. Okay? There's three passages that we put in compilation here together to begin with, starting in Nehemiah.
But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah. There are a whole lot of passages we could include in that that reminds us of God's grace, his love, his mercy. How many times the Israelites turned their back on him, but he did not abandon them. He did not let them go. He let them come back each time they would return to him. And he offers the same thing to us. He is not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone comes to repentance. Okay? So God is always faithful in his part of it. And he gives us a choice if we will respond to it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God is always there doing his part. It really is up to us. Now, the enemy, we know, is doing everything he can to drag us away. He wouldn't be putting all that effort into that if it weren't possible for that to happen. It's our choice. Kathy shared that and emphasized that in the hope of heaven that we have. But, of course, in John chapter 3:16, we could all probably say this together with Lula, but we're going to remind ourselves of that great core essence of the gospel also.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
So that we should not perish, but that we would have eternal life. God, the Son, they're working together as the preventers of perishing. All right? And Jesus reaffirms this perishing preventer promise in John chapter 10, the one that was on our bulletin cover. Repeat that.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
And so we have that promise. Jesus says, I'll hold on to you. The Father holds on to you. We're one. We're holding on to you. The beginning of the verse says, my sheep listen to my voice. They follow me. Okay? Is it possible that we close our ears sometimes to God and don't listen and don't follow? That is true. So that's our part. If that happens, God's going to let it happen. He's doing everything he can to hold on to us. But there is that spiritual warfare going on. The enemy is trying to take us away. And sometimes we listen to him instead and follow him. We have to be diligent and careful to follow the shepherd's voice and to obey him. Paul addresses both sides of the no matter what question in what we might call Roman righteousness. He deals with this quite a bit. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 6, 22 and 23.
But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah, we love that 23rd verse, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. It is a gift. It is not something we can earn. Nonetheless, we've been set free from sin, and we have become slaves to God. We don't like the idea of being a slave, but if I'm going to be a slave to something, it's going to be God. It's not going to be sin. And so I gladly give myself in service to the Lord. And slaves have to obey. They have to do what they're commanded. Well, even when we're a slave to God, sometimes we decide otherwise. All right? Otherwise, we don't reap the benefits of holiness, which leads to eternal life. We have to stay a slave to God. We've got both sides of the truth here together. And that's what we need to understand and recognize. Chapter 8 of Romans is considered a theological treatise on God's grace and the fight we have sometimes between that and legalism and trying to do it by ourselves. And God's grace and what it includes is taken in pieces for us this morning. We're going to read the first one of those in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1.
Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who
are in Christ. Did I hear you wrong?
There is now.
Now?
No.
Just got to make sure you read this one right, Linda.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed there are two therefores in the passage she read. Beginning in the first verse it says, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Yay! We are free. No condemnation. Verse 12 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation not to live according to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. If indeed we have been freed from sin and we are rejoicing in the fact that there's no condemnation for us, we are going to live up to that because we have the obligation that we have received in the grace of Christ. Does that make sense? Does that follow in your mind that that would be a natural thing? If indeed we share in his sufferings, we will share in his glory. So all we're saying is we got to stay true to what that grace has offered to us. Therefore, we have that obligation. Paul continues in Romans 8, verses 31 through 34, another familiar favorite passage.
What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
Yes, God is for us, then who can be against us? We have the power available to us. There is this spiritual warfare going on. There is an enemy who's trying to bring us down. But God is the one who is on our side. And it ends by saying that Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. But why does he need to intercede for us? Because it is possible that we may choose what the enemy is trying to lead us to. Jesus is an advocate on our behalf. He's doing all he can to keep us in his grace. That's him holding on. That's how God holds on. That's how Jesus holds on. Nonetheless, he will let us let go ourselves. And so he's interceding on our behalf to enable us to stay true. This, Paul continues then in verses 35 through 39 of that same chapter.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble our hardship, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our danger of our sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We consider the sheep to be slaughtered. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation
will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes. And aren't we thankful that God's love is so great that he enables us to be conquerors in all these things that we deal with in life, all these things that the devil tries to bring against us. And unfortunately, sometimes we all have to confess at the foot of the cross again today that we have blown it sometimes. But is God still there, available and waiting for us to return, and offers his love to us, enables us then on the next choice we make to be stronger and to rely on his grace and his love and all that he has available to us to stay true to that, to stay on the straight and narrow with him. Then we conclude Roman righteousness in chapters 10 and 11.
If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off.
Now, is that saying that God's not holding on? Is that saying that God is just letting us go because he doesn't love us anymore? No. We need to understand clearly, because it says, consider the kindness and the sternness of God. We are really focused on the kindness of God this morning. I want us to really be strong and certain about that. God's doing everything he can to keep us from perishing through his Son as well. Sternness to those who fell, however, kindness to those, provided that you continue in his kindness. Again, it's our choice. Provided you continue in his kindness. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but sometimes I'm like my wife, the teacher, and feels like it's got to be repeated for it to really sink in. To know that God is all love. And even in his sternness, it's love. Because God is a righteous, holy God. And only that can he dwell in. And so if we want to be a part of that, we will continue in his kindness, in his love, in his grace, in his mercy. It's our choice. Yes?
And it's our choice because he wants what's good for us. And when we continue in his love, in the life he lays out, it is good for us and we reap the blessings in this earth and the life thereafter.
Amen, sister.
Love, he wants what's good and right for us.
You should have a chance to preach sometime. All right. So that's Roman righteousness. Leaving Romans, Paul continues. Okay, little fun PJ thing here. What's this word? Galatian. Have you heard that before? Someone want to tell me what that is? What's Galatian grace?
It's a book in the Bible.
You're right. It's actually two books in the Bible. It's Galatians and Ephesians together. Sorry. Just had to play with it there a little bit. We're going to look in Galatians and Ephesians both. It becomes Galatians. Right, Mike? Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Okay. First in Galatians chapter 2 and 3.
I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor in their male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Yes, we have the promise. We are children of God if we have been crucified to ourselves, and Christ lives in us. All right? The writer of Hebrews in another place, and we'll look at that later down the road, talks about how we crucify Christ again and again when we sin. We don't want to do that. We don't want to keep doing that. There is a limit to how far that can go. If you belong to Christ, There's a lot of ifs involved in what we're saying today about God's grace. And we need to understand that is part of His grace. It is part of His love. If you belong to Christ, then you are heirs according to the promise. I belong to Christ. Now, I make choices once in a while where I'm not living up to that. But by God's grace, I come back to it. And that's what we want to reaffirm today, to give you hope and the assurance of that. When you do blow it, God is still there. Anytime we confess our sin, He is going to receive us and forgive us our sin. He's faithful in that. Don't forget it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 4 through 6.
You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts in faith expresses itself through love.
There are two ways we can fall from God's grace. One is, as Paul was addressing here, you're trying to justify yourselves by the law. You're trying to do it by yourself. You have fallen from grace when you do that. Some of us make the mistake of trying to earn our salvation by being good. And that's falling from grace. That's not relying upon grace, God's grace and His gift. We can also fall from grace when we presume on that grace and decide, well, now we can just do whatever. See, that's the opposite extreme. We want to avoid either one of those and stay on the true and narrow and just stay true to Him, allowing Him to work His life in us. It's not by legalistic works. It's by Him just working in us and through us. It's His work. We're just offering ourselves. We're just saying yes. We're just in agreement. Okay? Hope that's clear. All right. Continuing in Ephesians chapter 2.
But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
So we rejoice in this reaffirmation of God's grace being that which saves us. It is by grace alone, incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness in Christ Jesus. You've been saved through faith. It's not yourselves. It's not your works, so that no one can boast. But at the end, He helps us understand what that continuing work in grace involves and includes. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is that good works that is a part of our lives, but it's not us trying to earn salvation. It's God doing His work in us and through us once we have offered ourselves and surrendered ourselves to Him. God prepared in advance for this to happen. And it's just, again, us to agree with it and say, I can't do it on my own. It's Your grace at work in my life. This is the result of genuine experience of grace and the truth that God brings to us. Jesus said, if you love Me, you will do what I command. It's a love experience. He said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but only he who does the will of My Father, because he who loves Me does what I say. So this is a result of God's love and work and grace in our lives. Finally, Jude helps us to end on an optimistic and encouraging affirmation of his Jude joy. Jude joy. Verses 24 and 25 in Jude.
To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
We are affirming that it is Him and only him who is able to keep us from stumbling and falling, to be without fault, to be entering heaven with great joy. It's sad to observe some people's struggles and trying to earn that all the way to heaven and not really being free in the Lord, not understanding that his grace is sufficient not only for the first time to the cross, but many times to the cross. And as long as we're at the cross, God is going to be able to do in us and through us what he needs. He's the one who does it. We have to let him. That's where we're at. Let him. Hang on to him, because he's holding on to you. We're going to end with another song that I think is a real compliment to Linda's choice. And thank you again, Linda, that we celebrate no matter what. God's grace and his love is sufficient and there for us. It's because he is king of our hearts. This song says, I'm going to run to that mountain that we celebrated. Steve left, but that mountain that we celebrated here a few weeks ago to go rest high on. This song says he's never gonna let you old, let go. He's holding on because he's king of our hearts. Is he king of your heart? He's got to be king of your heart for it to happen. Let's open our hearts to him as we stand together to sing this song. As always, the altars are open if you desire to pray here.
Drink from, oh, he is mine. to me. God is all in all. And when the night is all.
So good. You are so loving. You're so patient with us, long-suffering. Time and time again, we find ourselves falling back before the foot of the cross. We blew it again, but you're there. You're still there. You're holding on, doing everything you can within your power to hang on to us. Thank you, Lord. All we have to do is surrender. Let go of the enemy and hang on to you. Thank you that in the dark nights of the soul, you are there. You brought us through some dark nights. You've forgiven our rebellion and turning our backs on you. Thank you, Lord, you're such a gracious, forgiving God. We celebrate that this morning. We celebrate that you're offering to us a no matter what grace. Help us, Lord, to do our part and to be true no matter what. Whatever the life brings to us, whatever the enemy throws at us, we're still going to hang on to you. You're our only hope. You're our only salvation. It's only by your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, our advocate. Thank you that he's ever interceding for us, working on our behalf, working in us and through us. And again, Lord, we recognize it's not just for our own sake, it's for the sake of all those that we love and care for that are away from you. Those that we work with, people we just have incidental contact with sometimes, that we have an opportunity to demonstrate your love, your grace, offer it to them. Thank you for that privilege. And so we offer ourselves once again to you, our whole hearts, maybe more than ever before. Maybe we're going to give up something we've been holding on to that comes between you and us, something that we've treasured but hinders that relationship that you desire to have with us. Help us, Lord, to let it go. Thank you, Father, for each one that is here.